Please take your Bible this morning and look with me in Psalm 40. And while you're doing that, let me say thank you to Pastor Rolando for the two really excellent messages he preached over the past 2 weeks out of 1 John 3. I missed the one last week, but I did get to discuss it at prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. And I must say that I learned much from that discussion and some good insights he had into that text. So thank you, Rolando, for being faithful to God's word. A couple of other things I want to bring to your attention. One is, when you pray, give thanks for a woman by the name of Nancy, you don't know her, and for a small church in Brooklyn, New York, called Sonship Ministries. You know, if it wasn't for Nancy and Sonship, and of course the Lord, because he used them, we probably would not be here this morning. Nancy is a very generous woman who gives, has given for 9 years, $6,000 a month to Grace Church. Sonship Ministries, a church that's probably the size of ours, maybe not even as large, over the past 4 months has averaged giving us over $4,000 a month. And then they very generously sent us a check for $6,000 to fund our trip to Cameroon in November. And you should know that the trips that we take for missions are largely funded from outside the church. But I am just overwhelmed with gratitude for Sonship Ministries. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, I will be preaching there in Brooklyn, New York, and will just give them my heartfelt thanks for their generosity to us. But pray for them. Pray that God will use them there in Brooklyn, New York, and be thankful for their great generosity. Psalm 40. I know this morning I am breaking the rules of expository preaching. And I'm doing that because in order for me to preach all of Psalm 40, I would need about 4 hours. If you want me to take 4 hours, I'll be glad to do that. But I've chosen instead to look at stanza number 3, which begins with verse 6. Now, many of you know Psalm 40, at least the beginning of the psalm, where the psalmist says that he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Now, many assume that this is a psalm of David, even though it does not have of David or to David in the psalms. 73 of the psalms clearly are Davidic psalms, but many would assume this is also. But if not, it is certainly someone who has found himself in a predicament. And as I look at the psalm, I understand that his predicament came about, his crisis came about, because he was hard-headed. He would not listen to God, and he found himself in a place where he needed to cry out to God, and God, in his grace, delivers him. And in that deliverance, he gives him, as we'll see, ears that can hear the living God. Look at our text this morning. Verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. There's been a great deliverance that has taken place, and the consequence of that deliverance is that God does something to this man, let's say David. God does something to him that makes him listen to the word of God with the desire to obey the word of God. It's a difficult phrase to translate in the middle of verse 6. But you have given me an open ear. That's really not a translation. That's more of a paraphrase. The New American Standard says, but my ears you've opened. The New Living Translation says, now you've made me listen. But I like the translation by Peter Craigie, an Old Testament scholar who's written a wonderful commentary on the Psalms, and he just translates the phrase literally. You have dug two ears for me. Literally, the picture, because the Psalm is poetry, so it has figures in it that make us imagine and think. The picture is that the psalmist has a head that's like a block of granite. It has eyes, it has a nose, it has a mouth, but there are no ears. It's just a block of stone. And God, in delivering him, digs new ears into this hard-headed, this block of stone, so that David can hear again. The psalmist understands that when God delivers his people, he delivers them so that they will listen. And by listen, we will see that it's not just hearing. It's listening in such a way, as Steve began his prayer this morning, that we will not only be hearers of the word of God, we will be doers of the word of God. You know, I think about the ear a lot more as I get older, because I don't hear as well as I used to. I fake it a lot, but the truth is, I don't hear as well as I used to. And maybe that's because my motorcycle is so loud, and I have damaged my ears over the years, possibly. I do know that sometimes I don't hear well because I've got so much else on my mind. You know, my wife is talking to me and I'm faking like I'm listening, and then I have to give a response and I have to say, you know, what did you say? Because I've got so much else on my mind. Whether it's damaged ears or ears that are preoccupied with what's in your own thinking, or whether it's ears that are just hearing other voices. You know, I find the older I get that there are certain places where I'm sitting at a table in a noisy room with background music and chatter all around. I just sit there and smile and say yes, and hopefully I'm saying yes to the right thing. The ear's a wonderful thing. You know, how do these waves of sound come in and get interpreted into intelligent information? I mean, it's an amazing thing. Take care of your ears. But we know David's not talking about the physical ear. Jesus talked a lot about ears. How often did he say, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear"? But everybody has ears. But he's talking about another kind of listening, a hearing of the voice of God that is speaking to you and moving you to act in his behalf, to act in a way that is honoring to him. The very first parable that Jesus taught, he emphasized the necessity of being able to hear the word of God clearly. He talked about ears that are like pavement. They don't allow the seed of the word of God to penetrate. He talked about ears that are filled with rocks, that the word of God just can't get in there and take root. He talked about ears that are filled with nasty weeds. That's a picture. That choke the seed of the word of God. He who has ears that have been dug by God, by the Spirit of God, let him hear. At the end of the sermon, I will take us to the New Testament, but let me say here that Jesus takes this portion of Psalm 40 and he takes it for himself. Although we'll see some of the wording is changed, because Jesus would not ever need to say, you know, "God dug me ears, new ears," because he never had a problem with hearing. So we'll see how it's transformed in the New Testament. But David is telling us that when God delivers you, it is important that the consequence of that be that you have ears that hear the word of God, that he digs you new ears. Because from David's words, we learn at least three things in these verses. First of all, we see that listening takes priority over ritual worship. He takes the words of Exodus and Leviticus, four Hebrew words that almost comprise the whole of sacrificial offering in the Old Testament. And he takes them and says, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and sin offering, these are not what you require. But David knew God did require them. They were a matter of obedience. But David sees something more, that they can become just ritual, that they are actually the fruit of something else, that it's not the offering itself that God requires. We don't impress God because we've come to church on Sunday morning. We don't impress God because we have sung our hearts out. And let me say, you sang so well. You know, whenever I'm away, I miss the singing of Grace Church. It is passionate, it's from the heart, and it's Christ-centered. But that isn't what God, you haven't done your duty because you've sung and you've prayed and you've given and you've checked it off the list that you have done the outward things that God expects you to do. No, David says, these are not what God requires. There's something more. These are just the automatic reflection or response of what is taking place within the heart. God wants open ears. God wants us listening to his voice. It's like a woman who's married to a man who does everything for her. He buys the gifts, he pays the bills, he fixes the things around the house, but he doesn't listen. And she would just love to have him turn off the TV someday or put down the newspaper. She would love to have someone just to listen to him. It's not the acts, the outward acts of duty. The outward acts of duty should be the fruit of something deeper in our hearts. I care about you. I care about what you have to say. Talk to me. James admonishes us, let every man be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. One of the greatest problems in marriage relationships is that we don't listen to each other. We love to talk, but we don't listen. Even Christians tell me sometimes, well, you know, I pray a lot. But do you read your Bible? Well, I don't really have time to read the Bible, but I pray a lot. Well, I think that you need to listen to God more than he needs to listen to you. Now, he wants to hear from you, but relationship is not one-sided. It's two-sided. We read the Word of God and we listen for the voice of God in his Word. It is his voice. And when we pray, we talk to God. Let every man be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listening to God with a heart that wants to obey him is what God wants before everything else, because when you do that, you will do everything else. You will worship God. You will serve God. You will be faithful to God, but only because you love his voice. You listen to his voice. But secondly, he tells us, and I've already indicated that listening is something that's deeply personal, that's deeply relational. The psalmist says, then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Now, if this is King David, I would think that David is saying something like this. David knew that in the book of Deuteronomy 18, the king is told to have his own copy of the law of Moses. The king was to read the Torah, the law. He was to meditate in that. And perhaps David, in his kingly duty, did that. He opened the Torah. He opened the scroll. He read it as a king. He said this is what kings should do. He did his duty. But he never read it thinking God is speaking not just to the kings of Judah and Israel. God is speaking to David. He never heard God's voice speaking to him. I know it's possible to read words on a page or to listen to words with the ear and never have them penetrate my heart, never have any sense of relationship in those words. David, now with new ears, sits down and he reads the Word of God. And he doesn't hear an audible voice. I've never heard one, though I would have liked to have heard one at times. I would have liked to have heard God say, do this. But he's chosen to speak through his Word. And as we read his Word and his Spirit works in our heart, God is not just speaking to the church, which he is. He's not just speaking to Christians, which he is. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me personally. These are words that are the voice of the living God. I've heard over the years as a pastor certain comments like this. I read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. Well, I've read the Bible at times and didn't get anything out of it. But is that the problem of God speaking? Or is that the problem of my hearing? Sometimes someone will say to a pastor, I don't get anything out of your preaching. Now, most aren't that bold, but there have been some over the years. I don't get anything out of your preaching. And it may be because the preacher's not saying anything. The preacher's not talking about the Bible. He's not pointing people to Jesus. Or it may be that the pastor just needs to say, in David's words, it could be because you're a blockhead. That you have a head of granite, you have eyes and nose and a mouth, but you have no ears, and maybe what you need in order to get something out of the Word of God is for God to dig you new ears. And I don't say that facetiously, I say that seriously. Because if I'm not hearing God when I'm reading His Word, if I'm not hearing God when Rolando is preaching, or Theodore is preaching, and Gary, and Peter, and Steve, if I'm not hearing God when the Word of God is opened, the problem is not with God's voice. The problem is with my own heart. I need God to do a spiritual operation on my soul so that I can hear the voice of the living God. I like it when I'm watching a good movie and someone's reading a letter. Maybe it's the letter of a loved one who is deceased. Maybe it's a letter written by someone who's far away. But as they read the letter, the director actually has the voice of the person speaking as they're reading, showing us that they are reading relationally. They're not just reading words. They're hearing a voice. And that voice is deeply personal. That voice is deeply moving. When your wife writes you a letter, it's not words. It's the voice of someone who loves you. When my dad used to write me almost every week in Bible college, it was the voice of a father who loved his son. And when you open the Word of God and are reading it, it's not just words that Peter and Paul and Moses and others wrote. This is the voice of the living God speaking to you. I've often said to people over the years who have a million excuses for not being able to start their day in God's Word. And I would say something like this to them. If you say you get up at 6 o'clock and you rush to work, if at 5:30 tomorrow you knew that Jesus Christ would be sitting at your kitchen table to talk to you, would you get out of bed early and listen to what he had to say to you? Of course, nobody's going to say no if they're a believer. Of course you would. We're just lazy. Or maybe we really don't believe that God is speaking to us through the words that he has given and preserved for us in Scripture. The Scripture is God-breathed. It is God's voice to us. On one hand, we are thankful for Gutenberg. You know Gutenberg? Because of Gutenberg, you have a printed Bible that you can call your own, that you have the privilege of reading. And in many ways, that's a blessing, but in other ways, it hasn't always been helpful. Because prior to believers having access to the written word of God, their own copy, they depended on listening. They depended on hearing voices. When Paul wrote to the churches, these letters were read, and they heard a voice speaking to them. It wasn't just words. Now we need the discipline of coming to the Word of God, whether it's sitting here today or whether it's sitting with my Bible at my kitchen table and listening, believing that God is speaking in his Word and he wants to speak to me. So let me ask you, do you read the Word of God with your eyes, or do you listen to it as the voice of the living God? Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We know the writer of Hebrews said that the word of God is alive. It's not just dead letters on a page. It's the voice, the living voice of the living God. The word of God is alive and it's powerful. Do you need new ears, Doug? Some of you may remember some years ago now, a series of books by the Southern Baptist Henry Blackaby became amazingly powerful. It's like they swept like a whirlwind across the evangelical world. They were called Experiencing God. And Blackaby recognized that most Christians were longing for a deeper experience of God himself. Now, I think much of Blackaby missed the point, that it went into mysticism and did not stay grounded enough in the Word of God. But I do believe he understood that most Christians are longing to hear, to experience the living God in their life. And that's what the psalmist needed. He was hard-headed. He found himself in a pit. He cried out, and God marvelously and graciously gave him new ears to hear so that now he could see that God was speaking to him in the words of God. One third point in our text. In the volume of the book, he says, it's written of me, I delight to do your will. In verse 8, your law is within my heart. Again, the Hebrews And sometimes the Greeks had a funny way of expressing their feelings. Literally, the phrase "within my heart" would be translated "within my intestines," "within my bowels." Because this is where the ancients felt things. They felt nervous. They felt excitement. They felt it in their stomach, in their intestines. And so now David said with these open ears, now that you have excavated this granite block ahead of mine, it has gone deep into my passions, into my affections. And if it's there, if that's where the Word of God is, then you can understand why it's not sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and sin offering that God requires. Because all of that will come when the law of the Lord is deep within your passions and your emotions. David said, "I feel it. I feel what you're saying, God. It moves me." In counseling, they talk about what is called empathetic listening. We know what sympathetic is. It's to feel with someone. But empathetic listening is putting yourself into it. It's not just hearing what's being said, but it's nurturing the affections and nurturing the relationship. It's bringing you together. Matter of fact, this is what most wives would be happy with. Not just listening. I mean, that would be a good first step if you listened. But if you listened and you cared, if you listened and you felt something, if you listened and you understood the passion of the one who's speaking, that would make a difference. And David said, "You dug me new ears and it's affected me. I feel it." And why not? I mean, it should really be unusual and abnormal for us to hear the Word of God and not be moved by it. Because it's not the voice of just anyone. It's the voice of one who so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's the voice of one who loved us even while we were yet sinners. It's the voice of one who loved us when we were enemies. It's the voice of one who in his great mercy reached down to undeserving sinners and lifted us up. It's the voice of one who was nailed to that tree in your place, who says, "I love you." It's this voice that should be moving our hearts, that should be touching our hearts. Some time back when the Attorney General was a man by the name of Ashcroft, and he was being interviewed by a commentator by the name of Cal Thomas. And Cal asked him, you know, what's the difference between Islam and Christianity? And I liked Attorney General Ashcroft's answer. He said that in Islam, Allah requires that you give your sons to die for Allah. But in Christianity, God gives his son to die for you. What a difference. And this is the one who wants to speak to us. We listen in the Word of God to the voice of one who loves us with an everlasting love, who loves us even when our love is weak, who loves us even when we're straying, who loves us in such a way that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. He is the one who wants to speak not just to our heads, but to our bowels and move us by his words. I caught myself singing the other day a song I haven't heard in probably 30 years, and probably no one else has heard, old gospel song, but it just came back. I'm not going to sing it, but here are the words. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. How many of you know that song? It's so true. And that's the way I feel. I want to hear the word, the voice of the God who loves me. But in order for that to take place, David said, God had to dig him new ears. I suspect that part of that excavating process was allowing the psalmist to fall into a place of difficulty where he came to the end of himself. And that may be where you are today. You're hurting, and God's simply saying, I'm only doing this so that you can hear the voice of one who loves you, a voice that will secure you, a voice that will satisfy you. So sometimes our calamities are a tool that God uses to begin to open our ears for us. But ultimately, what digs new ears is a fresh understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To know your sin, to know his sacrifice, to know his love, to be moved by that. The night I became a believer in September of 1970, last Monday, I was 48 years old in the Lord. But that night, when he delivered me, he also excavated this skull, this hard head of mine, so that I wanted to hear the voice. I wanted to learn more about this God who saved me. Ultimately, it's the gospel scalpel, the gospel hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. When we come to the New Testament, I find it interesting, striking, that the writer of Hebrews takes this portion that we've looked at this morning of Psalm 40, and he puts these words in the mouth of Jesus Christ. Only he changes some of the words, really based on the writer of Hebrews is largely using the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And apparently the Septuagint writers, when they came to that middle phrase in verse 6, where you have opened my ears, you've dug me new ears, perhaps they saw some messianic influence there. So they translated it, instead of saying, "You dug me two new ears," they translated it instead, or paraphrased it, and said, "A body you have prepared me." And that's what we read in Hebrews. Sacrifice and offering you did not require, but a body you prepared me. Now Jesus, as I said in the beginning, he would not need ears dug. But the writer of Hebrews, the Septuagint writers, understood the implication of digging new ears. That to have ears that are dug, that hear the voice of God, results in a life of obedience, a life of surrender. A body you have prepared for me. And literally, we know Jesus surrendered that body. He heard the voice of God. He obeyed the voice of God. Philippians 2 says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's not just listening. It's listening to the voice of the living God that leads us to a life of surrender and obedience. This is what God wants from all of us. He wants from you today. He wants you to walk out those doors today knowing that God has spoken to me from his word about my life, and I'm going to do something about it. Let's pray together, shall we? True listening is always listening that leads to obedience and a surrendered life. When your ears have been dug, you will have a body that's prepared to serve God in any way that he chooses. God wants to speak to you. For some here today, God is saying, "I can save you. I can forgive you. I can give you new life. If you will hear my voice, if you will repent, if you will believe my promise, then you can have life eternal. He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Is God excavating your heart and your soul this morning, telling you, you need to repent and come to Jesus Christ? As a believer, have you been marked by callousness and hard-heartedness and stubbornness? Perhaps you find your life in a mess and God's simply trying to get your attention so that you will listen to the voice of one who loves you. And your prayer today might be, "God, give me new ears. Shatter this hard, stubborn skull of mine that I can hear your voice." Before I pray, could I pray for you? You might say this morning, "I need to repent and come to Christ." Could I pray for you? Just slip your hand up and let me bring you before the Lord that you will hear the voice of God. Amen. 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 You may be a believer, but you know God is trying to get your attention. And this morning you're saying, I want to hear the voice of the one who loves me. Could I pray for you? Amen. Amen. Father, by your Spirit and by your word, in your grace and in your mercy, excavate our skulls, dig us new ears. Help us to hear the word of God, to hear it deeply, to hear it in such a way that it touches our affections, that brings us into a deeper love for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.